Yeah, listen, I would not, I don't think anybody up here would be surprised if it doesn't happen. If I was the Haney's, you know how UFC, like, they usually have another opponent in waiting just in case somebody gets hurt. They need to be talking to somebody right now, allowing that person to be getting the camp in as we speak, just like they are, just in case this doesn't happen. Because it's going to, like you said, Jose, it's not his fault, but then it's going to end up looking bad on him one way or another if it doesn't go down. Now you are home. Think of you.
Yes, Ring Kings Podcast is back. The whole team is here. The whole crew is here. We've exhausted all of our PTO, sick leave, all right?
Personal leave,
everything.
I don't know how the part-timer got on top.
You said what?
So I don't know how the part-timer got on top.
He's back on full time now. He's back to full time. Hey, what's going on, Mikey? How you doing, man? Welcome back.
Man, I'm good, man. It's good to be back. A lot to talk about. And like I said, man, this is Ring Kings Podcast. It's the best boxing podcast on YouTube. Y'all haven't heard me say that in a minute. But yeah, it's just still the truth.
Facts, man. Look, we told everybody that the whole crew is still here. Okay, nobody left. It's just a lot has been going on. Man, you've been doing a coaching thing, man. We've been really proud of you. I know that was very taxing.
Yes, to say the least.
Congrats on a successful season, I would say. Mm-hmm. All right.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, salute to our other brothers, OTR, Brandon, OTR, Quan. All right. But yeah, man, I know we haven't been putting out as much content recently. But I promised you we were going to get back on track, and it's starting right now. All right. Obviously, we have a lot to cover. I mean, we're going to start with the streets are talking about. Let's start with Ryan Garcia.
Getting off track.
Huh?
You're going to start with Ryan Garcia being off track?
Yeah, we're sorry to get off track. Yes, Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney are set to fight April 20th. Mm-hmm. Right? April 20th. I know. Because Ryan's big on that 420 number, okay? And other things. So when a fight first set up, I mean, we got to go through this timeline. It's crazy, all right? When they set the fight up, I was like, all right, cool. You know, Devin Haney needs more exposure. Ryan Garcia is a popular fighter. He did a big pay-per-view with Tank Davis. And I know, look, if you're, you know, boxing's cliquish, so you have your team Ryan or your team Tank, your team Haney's and whatnot, and they're gonna poke holes in whatever fight is set up that's not the two of them. But I just, as a boxing fan, thought that's fine, and I respected Ryan Garcia taking on another tough opponent, because, like we said last time, out of all these fighters, Tank, Teofimo, Shakur, Devin, it seems like Ryan's the one that's pushing to make these fights happen, you know? So I was giving him a little bit of credit for that. But before that, you know, Tank or Ryan has had a little bit of a history of being a little wishy-washy, right? If you will. A little flaky. And it looks like he's starting to do that again. Okay. Like,
it turns out it's not him pushing for these fights. It was just the drugs.
Yeah. He was just like, man, what fight? I ain't set up for no fight, you know? somebody showing him the video. He's like, I said what? So, all right. But they set the fight. And then it's just, you know, Devin and Ryan, they're not good trash talkers. All right. They look very corny. They're very corny people. That's fine. That's not a diss. They're very corny people. When they trash talk, it looks very disingenuous. And that's okay. You're trying to sell a fight. I'm cool with it. Then you get to the press conferences. First one, whatever. Second one, boy, oh boy. What a mess. What a mess. Ryan rides out on a horse playing Diddy music. Okay, a little troll to Devin Haney hanging out with Diddy. And then the question about drugs came up from Devin's camp, and Ryan was like, yeah, I use drugs.
And then Devin was like, I can't believe you'd say that. Like, well, you just asked him. So,
you know, he's playing Coco Melon on his phone, you know, when being asked a question, and all kinds of weird stuff. All right. Also during the, you know, back and forth, you know, they're talking about Tank because they can't help but talk about Tank. And you know, Bill Haney's like, oh, you know, drop the tape. You ain't seen no tape, drop the tape. So Ryan drops the tape. And at this point, I think everything is fine. Ryan's doing a good job trolling and selling the fight because now the Haney's are really bad, right? And then Ryan decided he's going to be a rapper. He dropped the rap song. And then he's dropping just all this weird stuff that makes no sense on Instagram. And his family's out there saying, hey, he's not right. You know, hey, if you see him, you'll pray for him and all this stuff. He's putting out like these hostage type videos. Hey, I'm alive. They froze my accounts. I don't know what's going on. And, you know, then he gets on a Spaces with Tate, Andrew Tate, you know, and even Andrew Tate's just like, damn, dude, what are you on? You know, like he was really flaking out on that. Okay. And, you know, not gonna repeat everything he said there, but he said a lot of wild stuff. He did all that and then, you know, wrote himself a little contract, you know, with some other YouTuber about how, you know, things he's going to do for the next 40 days or whatever. Basically, he's not going to do any drugs. He's not going to drink except for wine and whatever stuff. Yeah. And
things you do when you're high.
Yes, right. And then he flies out to train with Derrick James. So that's where he's at now.
He also called out Jake Paul during this.
Yeah.
You know, in between. Everything else he had going on.
Sean O'Malley too. I think he called out Sean O'Malley.
I think Sean O'Malley called him out. I don't know. I can't remember which way it went. But yeah, Sean O'Malley did a little video about how he beat down Ryan Garcia too.
No, he wouldn't. We like the sugar show, but no. And we'll discuss why in another segment. Why MMA fighters should not think that you're on the same level. Yeah, so all this is going on, man. And there's a couple other things that are happening in between as well that I think are I'll be concerned if I'm Haney's team, if De La Hoya, or not anybody that has stake in this fight. Because at the end of the day, it's a business. You're trying to make money off of this, right? You don't have to like each other, but you're all trying to make money. And Ryan Garcia posting text messages between him and, you know, people that work for Golden Boy that handle like the ticket sales and all that. And he's showing that they have low ticket sales. He's complaining about the prices being too high, you know, things like that. There was some confusion about where the fight was going to be, whether it's going to be in New York or was it going to be in Vegas, and just a lot of missteps. And yeah, man, if I'm Devin Haney, I'm pissed, right? If I'm pissed because this isn't his fault. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of this is his fault. You know, like, he's trying to boost his name by fighting a popular fighter, right? A solid fighter. And what we're getting is poor management from Golden Boy and the worst version of Ryan Garcia. You know, so much to the point where they're thinking that there might be he not going to make it to the fight. That's what people are saying.
Well, now, like at this point, it's kind of like a great white hype where, you know, Samuel L. Jackson went to that other trainer and was like, listen, just make him presentable and get him to the fight. And like once the fight happens, he's done. And the trainer's like, yeah, he's done. But just get him there. That's kind of the mode that everybody involved in this fight has to be in at this point. Just, you know, get Ryan Garcia into the ring on April 20th, and then whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, and that has to seem so far away for everybody involved.
It seems so soon when they announced it, and now it's just like, that day they never getting here.
Now it seems like, man, listen, everybody is crossing their fingers, is just praying that this fight happens, but it seems so far away now, and I would not, I don't think anybody up here would be surprised if it doesn't happen. If I was the Haneys, you know how UFC, like, they usually have another opponent in waiting just in case somebody gets hurt. They need to be talking to somebody right now, allowing that person to be getting a camp in as we speak, just like they are, just in case this doesn't happen. Because it's going to, like you said, Jose, it's not his fault, but then it's going to end up looking bad on him one way or another if it doesn't go down. So,
good news, Mikey. Good news. They might have stumbled upon that person. Because Adrian Broner was on an IG live with Bill Haney, and things got a little spicy, okay? And he said, sign me up. He said, when Ryan doesn't make the fight, put me in there with your son, okay?
Yeah. Couple of people, AB, I mean, you know, we've seen this from Shakur, you know, as of late, but even he said, tag me in. But we know that's not happening, but,
no.
Yeah, so, but we'll see, man, but it's not looking good. Look, initially I thought, like you said, he just doing anything to sell this fight. Right. And, although they are big names in boxing, they just don't have the personality, to sell a fight. They don't have the, you know, Tank sells fights no matter who he's fighting, just because he has that. You know, he has that knockout appeal, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he brings that excitement to the ring. We all know Haney, you know, he doesn't have the most exciting style of fighting. Ryan Garcia, you know, he has some knockout pop, but it's just not consistent, right? And we haven't seen it against an opponent of Haney's caliber, Tank's caliber, or whatever the case may be. So he's a draw, but it's at the same time, man, they know that these two names, you know, they have to make big numbers off of this, right? And it can't, you know, their reputations are on the line, so to speak, dealing with this, because if it's a flop, you know, at the box office, it hurts them going forward, especially Haney. Haney wants to be known as the draw. They want to prove that Haney can sell this and sell that. So that nobody can use that argument if him and Tank ever square off that, you know, he's the A side because he didn't want to sell all the tickets. So, you know, just as important as it is inside the ring, it's even more important outside the ring that not only they get this fight to happen, but that it sells. So initially, I thought that's what Ryan was doing, but it's gone a little left. You know, I'm concerned about the brother at this point. You know what I mean? Again, if he's trolling, he's doing a great job at, you know, having everybody think he's crazy or whatever he's trying to do. But at the same time, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, if he is trolling, he's gone much too far with it, because you don't want people thinking, oh man, this fight's not going to happen. and that's what people are thinking at this point.
Okay, so here's the thing. We talked about it a little bit. I can't remember if we talked about an LBT show or overtime, but do you guys think Ryan Garcia is going to make it to the fight?
It doesn't look like it. Like Mike said, I mean, there's genuine concern about his well-being.
Yeah.
You know, he's had to step away from boxing for mental health reasons before, and it looks like he's right back there. And if that's the case, he shouldn't be fighting in April.
What say you, Mikey?
I'm 51-49. No, at this point. It just doesn't look good, man, at this point. And You know, they're saying all the right things. He's saying all the right things. But, and even the guys that cover this sport for a living, they're concerned and don't really have much, you know, faith that this fight is going to happen, which is concerning. Usually, you know, they have some inside information. They know they got a good feel on things like this, but it's just not looking good, man. I don't know how long they're going to try to push this off, you know, but at this point, I would say slight edge to not happening.
Okay. I'm going to say yes, he will be there. Because Ryan Garcia, I'm not sure how old he is now. What is he, like 27, something like that? I'm not sure his exact age. But he's still young. He should be a little bit more mature than that right now. But he's at an age where he feels like, I can go on these benders and show and he's only 25 years old, right? 25. But I can go out and do these things, and I could still, you know, I only need a certain amount of time to get into shape, which is, you know, when you're near your physical peak, you can do stuff like that. You know, you can go out and drink and party or whatever and show up and perform the next day or night or whatever, right? A lot of athletes can do that. He feels like he's one of those people, right? Which is why I think he was doing all this stuff before. And yes, everything that you saw on Instagram, this is just me. This is my personal opinion. Okay. We don't know Ryan Garcia personally. We don't know for sure what's actually going on, but I feel like this isn't a mental health thing. I think this is just him. You know, he was tripping on a bad batch of whatever, you know, and he was just out there just on Instagram, just acting crazy. And he understand, all right, I fly out on this day to go train with Derek James. And when I'm out there, I'm going to be all business. And he might be, I don't know. Right. Like that's what I feel. But if it is the other thing, if it is like he has some mental health issues or whatever, and yes, he's had to step away for that before, then the dude shouldn't be boxing. He shouldn't be boxing, period, because it's not going to get better, right, by getting your head bashed in. Okay, so you need to step away. If it's not that, though, if it's not that, and it is what I think it is, it's going to be very hard for him in the future to get these big fights with other, you know, top fighters, because you're tanking this fight. You're tanking this promotion by doing what you're doing. You're not helping selling tickets. So if you do show up and you don't perform and it doesn't sell, this is the last big name I think he's going to get.
I don't think it'll be the last big name that he gets. Because he does have a following. And I think the danger of not selling is way more on Haney's side than it is on Garcia's side. Because Garcia has been part of big fights. Right? Haney hasn't. Mm-hmm. And if he gets in the ring with a guy like Ryan Garcia, who we know has a huge fan base. And granted, you know, it's on social media, but you know that those are Ryan Garcia's fans. And you know he's done a fight, you know, that sold over a million. You know, that was a big time seller. If Haney gets into a ring with a guy like that and can't sell, then I think it's Haney who struggles to get any kind of big fight after this. Because at that point, you know, if he doesn't sell with Ryan Garcia, you know, that's a name guy who was sold before. You can't sell with him. He didn't sell, I mean, with Lomachenko, nobody wanted to watch that fight. Nobody wanted to watch Pro Grace. Like, it comes to a point of people just don't want to watch Devin Haney. And I think people will be reluctant to put their fighters in with him because, one, you're not getting the financial rewards.
Yeah.
You know, and two, he's probably going to beat your fighter.
No, I see what you're saying, B. I see what you're saying. Like, right now we're looking at it like it's on Ryan Garcia because he is a bigger name. He's the bigger name. But if people don't feel like he's going to show up, are they still going to support a Devin Haney fight? And I don't think this hurts Devin Haney because we already know. Like, Devin Haney can say what he wants to say. Bill Haney can say what he wants to say. Devin Haney fans can say what they want to say. He's not a draw. And I like Devin Haney, right? He's not a draw. That's okay. But fights like this will help propel him to that next level. Because That's how it was with Mayweather. Mayweather wasn't that big draw until he beat De La Hoya. Right? Like, you need, sometimes you need these fights. You need to be put on, you know, on these platforms, or these big stages, and show out to where you gain those fans.
Yeah, but he was a bigger draw than Devin Haney, and Floyd has the personality to sell.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, if they don't sell this fight, like if the numbers come back and they're very bad, then you start looking at Devin Haney. Not only Devin Haney's not a draw, but Devin Haney's a cooler for guys who are draws. You know, it's like, yeah, I love Ryan Garcia. I ain't gonna pay to see him fight Devin Haney. You know, like that kind of an attitude. If they don't sell this fight,
yeah, I mean that. I agree. I do think, and Bill is very smart. He knows the importance of this. And again, it's all about, you know, I think we talked about this type of stuff on another episode before, but it's all, you know, in this boxing game, it's all about leverages, and then it's little small leverages, and oh, well, I did this, you didn't do this, or whatever. But we all know how much these guys clamor to be the A side again in any negotiation, just whether, even if that just means I'm walking out last. You know what I'm saying? These guys look for anything. And when it comes to the splits, you know, again, it's all about who's the one selling. Who's the one selling? I wouldn't be surprised. I haven't seen the splits in this, but I wouldn't be surprised if Garcia is getting a large split in this, because again, he is proven that he has been able to sell. He's been a part of a big event before, so you know, it has to happen for Haney. If they can do huge numbers here, Haney can now go to the table with these other cats who, you know, they feel a ducking away from him, or whatever the case may be, and now he has a way to say, listen, nah, we either got to be at the same table, we got to be at the same point, kind of like with Bud and Spence did, kind of, all right, okay, we both A side, we A, 1A, 1B side, whatever, we'll flip to see who comes out, like all of that. Now you bring that leverage to your game. But Haney knows that he needs a big, Bill knows that he needs a big sell for his fighter to be able to be, you know, involved in, you know, with these names like the Tank. I think that's what bothers that camp so much, is that, you know, Tank can say it's not much leverage there. You know, yeah, you got all the belts in this class or whatever, or you got these belts in this class. But like, bro, I put the butts in the seats. And at the end of the day, that's the name of the game for this sport. You know?
Yeah, because it's like, hey, yeah, do you really have those belts if nobody saw you win them? Yeah, and I think with Ryan Garcia, I think he'll continue to get big fights because he's a big name and he's beatable. Devin Haney, you know, he'll go down the Winky Wright path where nobody wants to watch you fight and nobody wants to fight you because you're too skilled.
Shout out to Winky Wright, by the way. Winky Wright is one of the most underrated fighters in boxing history, I think.
I think this fight's going to sell, though. So I don't think it's going to be an issue.
Okay. So that's the other question I have. Like, what do you consider a successful sell, right? Pay-per-view sale? Because I don't hold them to that Tank and Ryan standard of a million pay-per-view buys. Like, if they do 400 or 500, I think that's really good.
I think it'll do over 7.
Okay. That would be great.
Yeah, if it does that's amazing. That's amazing.
Devin has had a couple of really great performances, and you know, you have a big name in Ryan Garcia. And I mean, for better or for worse, you've got a lot of people paying attention to it right now. And you know, I think there'll be, if it comes off, I think people want to see how it plays out, you know, with Ryan being out of his mind over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, you know, along the lines of this, you know, Ryan Garcia and Devin discussion, I wanted to bring up the tape, okay, that Ryan Garcia dropped. All right, the sparring footage of Devin and Tank when Devin was 16 years old. He was 16. He was like a month or two away from his 17th
younger
birthday.
Younger every time.
Yeah, yeah. So this has been a very hot topic, and I find it comical, right? I just laugh every time I watch these videos and these live streams, and people, they are passionate about it. Devin fans are passionate about their guy, man. Salute to y'all, all right? So, you know, Ryan Garcia been telling Haney and, you know, Devin Haney and Bill Haney, I saw the tape, man. You know, Ryan, or Tank rocked you. Tank rocked you, okay? You know, you were hurt. And they're like, oh, that never happened. Never happened. The Haneys, I have to say this, man. The Haneys have been talking about this sparring match for years. They're the ones that keep putting it out there. How they won the bet. They went home with the $20,000. You know, then it's, you know, I effed them up. And all this stuff, right? Tank spoke about it one time on the Rise podcast and said, hey, man, you know, they didn't tell you how I cracked them, and they had to jump in and stop it, you know, because he's about to get knocked out. Adrian Broner, AB, you know, pretty much, you know, told his account of what happened, which was a similar thing. He said, yeah, man, he looked like he's about to go out. So I stepped in there because he was only like 16, 17. You know, I didn't want him to get hurt, but they let them continue to fight. Tank get, you know, he got tired and he essentially just quit. He just said, hey, I don't want, you know, I'm done. Right. That's how the Haneys got their $20,000. But whatever. Traditionally, sparring videos don't go out there. Really, you don't hear stories. You hear rumors, but you don't really hear people talking about sparring matches because that's supposed to be, you know, in the gym. It stays in the gym type of thing. Right. For a bunch of reasons, because yeah, Devin was only 16 or 17 or whatever. He was just a kid. Tank was still a kid. I mean, he might be like 20 or whatever at the time, right? But, you know, that's where you get better, and you're not seeing the best versions of themselves. And, you know, it's not an actual boxing match. You know, doghouse rules and all that. You know, you can see in the video at points where Mayweather is pulling Tank back. He's tugging on his shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a different environment. So that's why those things don't get released. But Ryan said, hey, you said release the tape. I released the tape. So people are mad about that. Mikey, did you watch the tape?
I watched a good chunk of it. I mean, you know, I take it for what it is. Like you said, it's smart, right? So it's not a match. I mean, you know, like you say, you don't. It's typically something you hear stories of. Every once in a while, you'll see a clip leaked of a sparring match. But most fighters just say that, like, man, it's sparring. Like, you know, everybody gets the best of everybody in sparring sometimes. So, but I mean, I felt like what Tank was saying and then AB saying, like at that time, there was really no beef. You know, with AB and Haney and his team. So, you know, I'm like, all right, this is two stories saying, like, look, this is where it kind of went. You know what I mean? So I kind of took it. I wasn't surprised at seeing what I saw. I'll put it that way. Like, I felt like Tank probably got the best of him without the stories. I mean, without the tape. And when it comes to sparring, In situations like that, you very rarely hear Tank speak about it unless it's brought to him. And then he'll say, yeah, well, this is what happened. You know what I mean? But he doesn't really, you know, he doesn't go into promoting fights or any, you know, back and forth with these guys saying, you know, what happened in sparring? You know what I'm saying? Until it usually comes his way. So once he said, like, yeah, man, I cracked him, I had already believed it. So
why wouldn't you believe that?
Focus on the wrong things anyway, right? Like, we walked out with the money. Yeah, but they had to stop your kid from getting knocked out, right? Yeah. Oh, we got all the belts. Yeah, but you don't sell any pay-per-views though, right? Like, they're trying so hard to make Devin into the star that they think he should be. And you should just be focusing on the fact that he's getting in the ring with, you know, the good fighters, like really good fighters in Pro Grace, you know, in Lomachenko, and completely, well, I wouldn't say completely outclassed Lomachenko. I thought Lomachenko won the fight, but he fought well against Lomachenko, completely outclassed Prograis. You know, and in his previous fight as well, like, that's what you need to focus on, is he's one of the most skilled fighters on the planet. And stop calling out Tank's name. Stop talking about what happened in sparring. You know, stop talking about Ryan Garcia's drug habits. Like, focus on your fighter and his skills, and you'll get to where you're trying to go. He's still extremely young.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes time to build up into becoming a superstar. Like, Tank is, you know, several years older than him.
Yeah.
You know, and he just recently got into that status. You know, when he was Devin's age, he wasn't, you know, selling a million pay-per-view buys and everything.
No, you're absolutely right. I bring up the tape because, one, that's something that, you know, a lot of people are talking about, and I think it's comical because, yeah, you'll hear a lot of people that want to defend Haney, you know, say, oh, well, he's only 16, and, oh, well, he didn't really get rocked like that. No, he got rocked. Yeah. No, I watched it. You know, he got hit like 20 some odd times without returning anything. That, especially at a young age, usually when that happens, the fight's over. Right, they wave it off like, no, you don't want anymore. Now, because nobody threw in a towel, he didn't quit or anything like that. You know, Bill's side, you know, argued like, no, you know, AB just jumping in here, but, you know, get him out the ring, right? And continue to fight, and he got to continue to fight, and, you know, he did get some shots off from what I heard, and you know, Tank just got tired. Tank never denied any of that. He was just like, yeah, you know, I cracked him, and they stopped the fight. Okay, whatever. I don't care how it played out. I don't care if he knocked Devin flat out, right? I don't care. Like, that was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That was years ago. That doesn't have any bearing on how either of these fighters are now or what would happen now. So, like, to me, so if they showed a whole tape and it shows Devin getting whooped or Tank getting whooped, like, to me, it doesn't mean anything. If this was a year or two ago, okay, you know,
a little more interesting. A year or two ago, I mean, it still wouldn't mean anything.
It would. It'd be more relevant, but, yeah, I mean, yeah. No, it doesn't mean anything, but it's just comical because, again, man, like, this is the Haney's doing all the talking. This is why people made a big deal about it, because they made a big deal about it. They're the ones always talking about it, and when it gets out there, now they're all mad about it, you know? You know, calling out AB, which is why AB and Bill Haney had that back and forth on IG, you know, which was entertaining.
Don't call out Adrian Broner. Look, I'm not a fan of Adrian Broner. I've never liked Adrian Broner. You know, I think he's mostly wasted the talent that he had. Right?
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of an idiot. But he's going to win an argument with you. Like, you're not going to out-argue Adrian Broner. Yeah. What are you doing?
I was okay with that back and forth because Bill Haney knows how to talk trash. But the whole time I'm watching that, I'm thinking to myself, that's the type of fight you should have been trying to set up. Right? Because, yes, like B said, AB is wasted talent. He was a special talent, man. He never capitalized on his talent. He never capitalized on it. But the one thing AB always did consistently was sell the fight.
Yeah. But what you said right there is exactly why I'm not okay with that back and forth. Because it wasn't with Devin Haney. It was
right.
Devin's father talking for Devin yet again.
Yeah.
And Devin he needs to stop.
How do y'all feel about that? Because Devin is not, I mean, I don't think you need to sell a fight that way. It helps. Trash talking always, you know, is entertaining. It's entertainment. Devin Haney's not a trash talker, obviously. Right? Good kid. You know, and he doesn't know how to trash talk. Yeah, he has that corniness to him. I don't think there's a problem. I think you can be yourself and sell a fight. Yeah. I feel that way personally.
To sell the fight, fans have to connect with you, not your dad.
Yeah. Yes. That's my whole thing about it. Like, Bill, you know, he's done a lot for Devin's career. He's out there. I don't mind the trash talking. I mind everything else, though, because Bill Haney is the one that's usually doing the interviews. He's the one that's guest appearing on different podcasts and whatnot, and not Devin. Like, that I have a problem with. Like, you're not, like you said, B, you're not the boxer. You're not the person that's in the ring And I understand that's your son. I understand you're right there with him, you know, every step he makes, but you're still not the fighter. We want to hear from the fighter. And Devin needs to find his voice, right? This is the same thing that we were saying about Tank, by the way, when he was with Floyd, because Floyd did the same exact thing. They asked Tank a question, and Floyd like, "Hey, I'll take over," you know, and just start talking. It's like, no, we weren't asking you, Floyd. You know, let Tank speak. Tank isn't a big talker either.
Look no further than the UFC and Nathaniel Diaz. My man can't put together two sentences, and the fans love him.
Okay? Yeah,
because he's himself. You know, he's not putting on any kind of show. Like he's not really good at trash talking. He's not, you know, quick on his feet like McGregor. You know, he's not. He's none of that stuff, right? But he's himself. He's authentic, and the fans love him for it.
But he's perceived more as a badass, right? That's not Devin Haney. Everybody knows that's not Devin Haney.
Yeah, I mean, look, he is. But my point is, like, I think it doesn't matter how good you are on the mic necessarily. It doesn't matter what your personality is, but you have to show your personality, and you're gonna find fans that connect with you.
Yeah,
you know, and like I said, Devin's not that big trash talk or whatever, but that's the perception. That's what his dad's doing.
Yeah,
you know, and so it's yeah. I don't want to say he's misrepresenting his son, but like it doesn't fit.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's one of the things that Devin, I do think Devin secretly or quietly probably has an issue with that, because the narrative now starts that, you know, Haney is pimping him, right? I mean, Bill is pimping him. Mm. So he'll never live that down as long as Bill is the one doing the trash talking. I get it from Bill's standpoint. Bill knows that he got to sell these fights, right? Yeah. He knows what it is, and I think that's why I do think he's a genius in some regards of what he does to try to get his son in all conversations. But I think, you know, at times it becomes a bit too much, a little watered down. You look at who he's arguing with, and it's like, why are you even arguing with this dude, right?
I'll tell you what. Yeah. I can't put that genius label on him when he ain't selling the fights.
I mean,
he's trying.
What he trying to do, he's right? Trying. Right.
It ain't working.
But if you notice, like, all of the back and forth with other boxers, like, you know, this with AB, it was Bill. Shakur, it was Bill. So it's never like, you know, like you said, it's never Devin. And, you know, I think it kind of becomes frowned upon, because it's like, bro, why your dad doing all the talking for you? Like, you just sitting there. You ain't saying nothing. And that might not be his thing. But, you know, fans rather see a back and forth with you and AB or you and Shakur than it be your dad and these boxers. So, I mean, it is what it's going to be. Sometimes they just got to accept who they are, man. You might not be, like, what Floyd did was like crazy, like, not, you know what I'm saying, what Canelo does is crazy. You don't see it as often as you may have seen it back in the day, but these guys, you know, they're one and ones, right, of being able to sell just by showing up. You know what I'm saying? Tank is headed in that direction. He's probably of the newer generation of fighters, he's probably the closest of being able to do that just by showing up, because he, you know, he's attached to himself. It's kind of like the Allen Iverson feel when he came to the league, right? You know, rappers and other people, you know, celebrities align themselves with him, and it's kind of the same with Tank.
It's because it seems like he's not even really doing anything, and people are just connecting with him.
Yes, yeah. You know, he's the rapper / celebrities, you know, favorite boxer, so to speak. So yeah. That alone, right, you're gonna draw those type of names, you know, it's just what comes along. He was able to find a way to get into that circle, I guess, so to speak, and now he's capitalizing off of it. Devin just doesn't have that, and like you said, Jose, you either find a different way to sell your fight and just live with the fact that, yo, this is where we're going to be at. We might be able to do 250,000, 300,000 each joint. You know, blah, blah, blah. Now let's try to focus on getting him in the ring with the Tank or somebody else. You know, you're going to always have to align yourself with a dance partner that can sell at least the same as you, if not more, at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's plenty of fighters out there that could be big fights for him. And, you know, they can do, you know, pretty good numbers, right? Like you said, I don't think he'll ever sell to that level that Tank sells. Because to do that, you have to have one of two things, or both. A very outgoing personality. That's not Devin. That's fine. Right? Or you have to be a knockout artist. And you're not.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not either one of those. You don't have to be. He's obviously an excellent fighter. He's had a lot of accomplishments. He's going to keep accomplishing things. And, you know, if you think you can do better, all right, go out there, handle business with Ryan, sell the fight. Make the fight happen with Tank. Sell that fight. Win that fight. That'll help, right? I mean, you look at Bud definitely, I mean, he's still not as big of a draw as people think, but I think he's a bigger draw than he was before the Errol Spence fight, you know, and he doesn't do a whole lot of talking either. He's a very quiet guy. You know, but you have to go out there and keep being successful. And, you know, it's a longer road, I would say, but you can get there. But talking about Tank constantly and not making the fight happen, that's not going to help.
Yeah.
All right. So there was a fight yesterday. No, not yesterday, Friday. It was Friday. There was a fight yesterday. I was on UFC. There's a fight on Friday over in Saudi Arabia. Okay. My man, Francis Ngannou. Okay. Me and B are Francis Ngannou fans from UFC. All right.
PFL.
Now PFL. That's right. I think he's going to do big things in PFL. He's an absolute beast. Okay. His first boxing match, he put the champion, Tyson Fury, on the mat, stood over him, said, "What's up, son?" Tyson Fury was like, "Oh, I don't want to get hit like that again." And proceeded to fight that way the whole fight. And we believe that Ngannou actually won that fight. He didn't get the decision. But that was a huge win for MMA fans, UFC fans that say, hey, these guys can hang with boxers. Okay. Now, that was a big embarrassment for Tyson Fury. There's no excuse for that. I don't care if
he's out of shape. His response to that was, I hope Anthony Joshua beats him.
Yeah, Tyson Fury, I told B, as soon as he got knocked down, it should have been, okay, that was funny. Now I'm going to teach you a lesson. And it just never happened, right?
Well, yeah, like about Great White Hype before, it should have been that moment where he got hit and fell back in the ropes and was like, you trying to embarrass me on TV? And
yeah.
And it was over.
And put him out. Okay, so this gets, now all the while, I'm happy for Ngannou because you know how we feel about UFC. I'm not a Dana White fan at all. UFC doesn't pay their fighters nearly enough. And Francis Ngannou got the biggest payday of his life for that fight. Okay. Life-changing money for him. And that got him another fight with Anthony Joshua. Now, Anthony Joshua is the most up-and-down fighter I know. Okay. Anthony Joshua, it really depends on how he feels that day. Anthony Joshua can look great in the ring, and he can just look like he's not interested. And, you know, you see him lose to Andy Ruiz, and you're like, what the hell, right? But then you see him, even though these were losses, when he fought Alexander Usyk, I thought he did some of his best work in the ring. I thought those were excellent fights. He just, you know, he just lost. But he showed you everything there, right? And I felt like the sky is still the limit for him. He could still go out there and be a champion. I definitely, you know, favored him over Tyson Fury at that point. But anyway, here we are, Ngannou, Joshua. And of course, people are like, yeah, Ngannou can knock out Joshua because we've seen Joshua get knocked out, right? We see him get hurt. And Ngannou is very, very powerful, all right? And get in the ring and at first, it was looking like, okay, Ngannou's pressing it a little bit. Ngannou's looking, you know, looking a little fluid. Oh, down he goes. Okay. He got de-cleated off a punch. He gets depleted. We're like, oh, okay. But he gets up. He looks like he's all right. All right, no problem. And, you know, the other thing about Anthony Joshua is he's not really a finisher. You know, he gets you hurt. He doesn't always go in there to finish. And he didn't. He didn't in the first round. He gets out of that first round. Like, all right. Second round, they're going. All right. You know, they're both holding their own. Less than a minute left. Boom. Down goes Ngannou. Right. Now, this time, me and B looked at him. I looked at B and I said, they shouldn't continue the fight. Like, just the look in his face. You know, when, you know, those guys, they get hit and they're like, they're not quite sure where they're at. That's kind of what Ngannou looked like. Like, ugh, you know. But he gets up, lets him, you know, the ref lets him continue the fight. And then, boom, another straight right. He's out cold.
Not just a straight right. Like, it was a right hand out of, like, Street Fighter. Like, he loaded up. Like, it wasn't a fight. It wasn't a right that you see in a regular boxing match, because any boxer would have gotten out of the way of it with no issue.
Right.
No matter what condition they were in. But, you know, yeah, he put him out. And, yeah, we talked about it. The referee should have, you know, at that point, you got to be aware this guy's not actually a boxer.
Yes. Yes. So, all right. This is where I'm a little cautious with my words. I don't want to say a big win for Anthony Joshua. You fought a non-boxer, okay? But it gets his name buzzing again, okay? It helps him build off of his previous win against Otto Wallin, right? Which I thought was an impressive win. He looked really good in that fight. And I think for somebody like Anthony Joshua, he needs those confidence boosters. Knocking him out cold, where in the last fight, he put Tyson Fury on the mat. For Joshua, that's a huge confidence booster. Right? Now, Tyson Fury is out there talking about the winner of that fight was going to get a title shot against him. I don't know if Tyson Fury going to keep his word on that, but we'll see. But again, this is what I was saying.
Tyson Fury ain't gonna have them belts. Ain't gonna be an issue.
Right. Yeah, he's fighting Usyk next. Yeah, and I don't think he's gonna beat Usyk. But this puts Anthony Joshua in position again for another title shot. You know, so that's what I was saying. Like, everything's still out there in front of him for another shot at the title, even though this was against a non-boxer. I think this was a good win for him, right? Just to kind of let people know, like, yeah, I'm that dude. Because even though he's not a boxer, like, knocking somebody out like Ngannou, that ain't easy. And for Ngannou, another big payday. Okay, there were no losers. Let's put it that way. And for the MMA community, man, and we love MMA. Do not think what you saw in that Tyson Fury fight reflects what can really happen when you see a MMA fighter fighting a top boxer.
Well, yeah, for real. Tyson Fury is a fraud.
Yeah, he's a little bit fraudulent, and he wasn't serious. And Joshua took it serious. That's why I felt a little bad for Ngannou, how he got knocked out cold there, because, you know, the first fight with Fury, I thought it was going to be a little boxing entertainment, right? I thought it was going to be one of those things where, all right, you know, I'll hold you up. Don't worry. I won't embarrass you. And I felt like maybe that's what Tyson Fury was thinking until he got knocked down. I think he started taking it a little serious then. But, you know, I don't know. But once he got knocked down and people were like, oh, he lost that fight, Joshua was like, I ain't taking no chances. I'm putting him away.
Yeah, I don't even necessarily think he took it that seriously. I think, you know, listen, Tyson Fury's entire resume is beat a 40-year-old Klitschko, and had a trilogy against a guy who can't box, and then arguably lost to a guy in his first professional boxing match, in his first boxing match.
Yeah.
He's a fraud. Anthony Joshua is not a fraud. He just has he's a flawed fighter. He's not a fraud. That's why he went in there and he dispatched Francis Ngannou with no issue.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury is just big.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's two things, right? Two things out of this. One thing, like, you're correct. It has put Joshua's name, you know, he buzzing again. But to your point again, you know, I'm being careful on, you know, and I think people need to be careful on how much buzz they putting behind this win, because I mean, he wasn't, he's not, he's a non-boxer, right? Even though, like you said, knocking a guy out like that, listen, that's not easy to do. So that's another thing. The other thing too that scares me with Joshua, this is awfully reminiscent to the last time he was in this space where his name was buzzing, right? And they had already basically had signed, sealed, and delivered him and Fury, $70 million guaranteed, like it's going to be this huge fight. And then he steps in with Andy Ruiz, and he gets his ass whooped. And he is constantly
Usyk
saying,
that time, at that point, it was Usyk.
Was it Usyk? Oh, it was Usyk. Yeah. Right. But he just seems to when he gets this buzz behind his name, he just steps into the ring with somebody and it just goes bad. And he's on record of saying he wants to still be at, he wants to fight again in a couple months, you know. So not saying he shouldn't fight, right? But I just hope that, you know, he continues to be this focused boxer that he seems to have been since he. Now, again, he was with Derrick James. Now it looks like he's not. Nobody really knows what that situation is about.
So he mentioned Derrick James. Derrick James wasn't there, but he mentioned Derrick James as, you know, one of his trainers. Okay. So maybe it makes sense because Derrick James is training Ryan right now.
Is it?
Yeah. But Derrick hasn't allegedly been at his last couple of fights.
No, he wasn't.
So it's I don't know. You know, I guess he goes back and forth, which is cool. But you know, hopefully he just stays focused and you know, no more hiccups, and that we can see this fight that what everybody thinks they want to see, right? Either him and Fury, or I think because of Fury, the personality, you know, the draw, like I think that's what the fans want to see, him and Fury. We've seen him and Usyk again, even though I'm sure he wants to get his hands on Usyk again. But I think from a selling standpoint, you could probably sell him and Fury a little more than him and Usyk. But either way, keep yourself clean so we can see either the rematch with Usyk again or you and Fury for the first time. You know, like Joshua is a guy, like if you put a heavyweight in the lab and you create the perfect heavyweight, like from size, speed, you know, all of the above, strength, he would be what comes out of that chamber, right?
Yeah. Well, when he shows up in the ring, he's always like 85% of what you think he should be.
Yes. He just doesn't live up to, like, you know, and I don't know, but good for him, you know. And another thing about, you know, as far as Ngannou, right? We understand, you know, this whole, you know, they think they can cross over and all of that. Cool. However you feel. I didn't appreciate Dana White's comments about this, right?
What did he say?
He just basically saying, he basically said if Fury would have came in, you know, halfway in shape, you know, that would have happened the first fight. You know, these guys think they can cross over and then they fight real boxers and this is what's really going to happen. They get knocked out. But behind that, was a write-up on how much Ngannou made in his last pay-per-view with UFC and how much he made against Joshua. And let me tell you, folks, it is stark difference. I think it was like 600. I think he won. 600K. Think he made 600,000.
Yep.
And he made 20 million on Friday.
Yeah, they're a little salty.
He made 10 million on the first fight because he was talking about how He said it. After that, his last championship fight, he was still broke, and he had to borrow money from Kamaru Usman, another UFC star, mm-hmm. right? He had to borrow $200,000 from Kamaru Usman. And shout out to Kamaru Usman, man. Like that's good looking out for his friend, man. You know, I appreciate that. You know, I appreciate that camaraderie they have. You know, but yeah, he goes and gets a fight with Fury, that was $10 million. Yeah, this last one, $20 million. So two fights where he did a total of what, 12 rounds, because the last one was 10 rounds.
This one was 2 rounds, or we would say 11 and a half rounds. And he's made more money than he's ever made, more money than the person that he knocked out in UFC has ever made, Stipe. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't think Stipe has ever made, I don't think Stipe has made $10 million in his career. Definitely not 20, definitely not 30 million. But that's how easy it is to outperform financially what you do in UFC, which is why these MMA fans, UFC fans, if you're not a boxing fan, you don't understand this, right? Those are two different sports. And you don't understand a guy that's in UFC that even though he might train in boxing, he's a good striker and he's a knockout artist, cannot compete with a top boxer, right? Because it's a different craft. It's a different skill. But the UFC fans or the UFC fighters, they understand this. It's not something that they don't know. But they understand it's a much bigger paycheck. Okay? So when Sean O'Malley calls out Tank Davis or he calls out Ryan Garcia, he knows he doesn't have a chance. He knows that. I don't care what he tells you. I don't care how much he tries to sell it to you. He knows he doesn't have a chance.
Yeah.
But the money is so much more than he can make in UFC. So they're always going to try to get those fights, make those fights happen.
Yeah. All right. I got to get out of here.
All right. B's got to get out of here. So we finished right at the right time. All right, gentlemen. Thank you all for showing up. B, I know you're working hard today. Mikey, good seeing you again. All right. We had to dust off the microphone. But we're back. Okay, and we're going to be putting out more content. There's a lot to discuss. We got Keith Thurman fight coming up. Keith Thurman and Tim Tszyu. And Rolly's going to be on the card. Rolly versus Pitbull Cruz. Cool. Yes, that's coming up March 30th. All right, so.
And hopefully Haney and Garcia.
Yes. You'll be seeing a lot more of us, all right? So
Canelo Munguia signed.
We might have
and
to do another
boxing
video.
Boxing entertainment at its finest, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson is signed.
Guys, you're going to be seeing a lot of us. You're going to be seeing a whole lot of us. All right. So turn on your notification bells. I know it's been a little while, but we are back. Okay. So, and also follow us on Twitter/X, Instagram, TikTok at RingKingsPod. All right. But we are out of here. Thank you for hanging out with us. We will see you guys very soon. Peace.